Lord, we are so thankful that we can gather together and that we can give glory to you, Lord, that we would give testimony and as to who you are, that we can call out your name, and Lord, how you reveal yourself through your name, how you are called by Counselor, King, Priest. Lord, you are our Redeemer, our Savior. We thank you and praise you, Lord, that you love us and care for us and show us yourself. And Lord, that you desire for us to see you. Lord, you're not trying to conceal yourself. Lord, help us to look to you and to trust you and to see you in your name. Lord, in your names we lift you up. Praise your holy name. Glory to you. Over the past few months, I've had occasions to speak, and one of the key words, a couple of key thoughts and words, that being abiding in Jesus, try to talk about that, and believing in Jesus. And how they are tied together. Many examples in the scripture over and over again. This is God is speaking to his people and he wants us to know him. He loves us. He cares for us. And he provides everything that we need. And he wants us to know that. He wants us to develop, to work at believing in him. And several examples I want to speak of today. I was particularly touched, and I'll come back to him later, but every year at Christmas time, I'm just, overwhelmed by the person Simeon, who came and at some point when he was just after the birth of Jesus, that he was in Jerusalem to be dedicated, and Simeon came to see him. God drew him there. But before I talk about Simeon, I want to talk about a few others in the scripture. Enoch is another example. And so what I'm talking about, trying to communicate, is that we abide in Jesus because he wants us to trust him. He wants us to know him. He wants us to give ourselves and to actually to look to him so that we can be gathered in. He draws us to himself and he wants us to know him. And so some of these examples are intended to be an encouragement to you, encouragement to me. The first one, these are all familiar people and places and things. Heard them before, but I want to talk about first about Enoch. Enoch is an interesting character in the Bible. I don't know if you've ever really dwelt on Enoch or thought about him, but he was one of the pre-flood. He was a believer. He loved God. And the scripture tells us in Genesis, in starting in chapter 5, verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. And this is one in a series of, these are the generations of after Adam, leading up to the flood and Noah building the ark. Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah. And he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And he was a relative youngster in this lineup of patriarchs, I guess. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God. The scripture doesn't tell us a lot about how Enoch, what did that mean? How did Enoch walk with God? But it did, it was a persevering thing. He walked with God for 300 years. 300 years, that's more than any of the rest of the people in the lineup here. He loved God. He saw God. God saw him. God embraced him. God brought him to himself. He did not die a natural, the sinner's death. He died because God, he was called into heaven, and he was not. For God took him. God took him in verse 24. Enoch, in that 300 years, what I believe the abiding is that we've been talking about, been trying to communicate, is that and here's Enoch as an example. He walked with God. I believe he was just like the two brothers on the road to Emmaus. He was right there. The Lord, the God was with him. He got to see him. He knew him and knew that he was known. And I believe they had an intimate relationship about who God was, what God was doing, why he was leading and going in the way. Enoch had to. He was a good man. He had to be as upset as, well, maybe not as upset, but certainly upset by what he saw around him. The world was an evil place, and men were not following God. They were doing whatever they thought was good for them, and most of it was not. So Enoch spent time with God. Doesn't tell us how it did it. I have a picture, and Kendra helped me out. In my mind, I see Enoch sitting with God like I would sit with my dad or my grandfather in front of the fireplace and hear about the things that he wanted him to know. He loved Enoch, and Enoch loved him. And so, with that, they lived together. They lived close to each other. They lived sharing the life of God for 300 years. Enoch is an example of an individual and his abiding as a person. And each one of us has that opportunity, and I hope we take that opportunity. We want to take that opportunity. We should take the opportunity to know God, to come to him and ask him questions that trouble us. Share things that we see that bring us joy, that bring us comfort, that bring us internal rest. He is the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings. He is able to do all things. And he and Enoch shared that. And Enoch grew and knew that and was proven to be, with God's help, to be carried into heaven to be with God. I want to go, already mentioned Simeon, and I'm going to come back to him. But I also want to talk about in Luke, at the same time that Simeon was there. So was Anna, and Anna was a prophetess. And so in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 36, and there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. And she was advanced in years, having lived with a husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. And at that very moment she came up. This is just following the blessing of Simeon. And at that very moment she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel. Enoch came to God as a man, and he had fellowship with God one-on-one. Anna came, and she was in front of everybody. She was telling them, this is the Christ, or this is God, he's here. She was not young. She was 84 years old. And she loved God, and she spent her time in the temple wanting to be an encouragement to others, to be encouraged by others, to hear God's voice, to see the things that God was doing, and to be a testimony with fastings and prayers, it says in verse 37. And she was worshiping and giving thanks to God. I want to go over now to, haven't forgotten Simeon. I'm going to go over to the Gospel of John, and I've shared these verses before, and you've certainly read them and remember them. John chapter 6, verse 24. When the multitude therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the small boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs of deity, the witness and testimony of God. Not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. This is a struggle that we have in abiding in Jesus. Is we're still in this world, and we still have to eat, and we still have to. The woman at the in John 4, women had at the well had to go out to the well to draw water. Although everybody in the town had to go out to the well to draw water. Truly I say to you, this Jesus is communicating to these seekers. They were seeking, but they were seeking under the wrong motive. And he told them so. And truly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Well, that's pretty natural. That's the natural man needs to be filled with food. But verse 27, do not work for the food which perishes. Surely the bread perishes, not the bread of heaven, but the bread that we make, the bread of this earth. It spoils eventually. We have to make it over and over again. And they said, therefore, to him, he says, verse 27, do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. For on him the Father, even God, has set his seal. And they said, therefore, to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? I'll pause there. They are trying to understand all their lives, all our lives we spend. We have work to do to make a living, to feed a family, to spend time with the Lord, to all these things. But we want to know that he is with us. We want to know that I have a place, and he is telling us that we have a place. He is telling us we have a place to abide, a place to go where the King of Kings lives. If we go over to chapter 14, I read this earlier, chapter 14 of John. Let not your heart be troubled. This is verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places, places of abiding. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That is where I am. There you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me, living in me, does his works. Believe me, verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I'm going to stop there. Verse 11. Jesus is declaring himself, and the disciples, evidenced by Thomas and Philip, have not understood what he's saying. And you can look at this as the Lord reprimanding them, and I don't think he was. I think he was calling them to see, look at what's happened. Look at what I'm doing. Look at what God intends. He wants to show himself, and he sent me so that you could see. So God is intending for us to know him. He wants us to know him. We struggle because it's hard to understand. There, I stopped it at verse 12 in chapter 14 because it's hard for me to understand. I can't help you on making sense of that. God will, though, if you will abide with him, if you'll realize that you are being cared for by him and that he wants you to know, he wants you to hear him speaking. He wants us to know. He wants us to carry the message and the testimony of his life to the world. He doesn't want us to be confused, but we are, and he accepted that. Have I been so long with you, and yet you do not know me? Well, they did know him. They saw him. They were struggling. They had a partial anyway. So I want to go back now. I've promised you long enough that I want to talk about Simeon in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 25. Simeon is a marvelous character. He just speaks to my heart. Verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, looking for a Savior. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Savior, the Messiah. And he came in the Spirit, drawn by the Spirit, into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, Now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, right here, and the glory of thy people, Israel. And his father and his mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, the child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Simeon was an individual who had walked with God. He was, I think he was in a different relationship than Anna. Not a different relationship, it was the relationship with the Lord Jesus. But his understanding came directly to him. He was speaking very specific truth and words that were intended for Mary and Joseph and the child. And for the people who would listen, who were there and were listening. I'm sure when Simeon came into the temple, probably there was a stir. Some people probably thought, well, here, Anna's already a kook and all over the place telling us about Jesus, telling us about God. And here comes Simeon. He doesn't hang around the temple all the time, but he was called by the Spirit to come and to reveal very specifically that this is Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, salvation for the Gentiles, light of revelation to the Gentiles. We are blessed with a light of revelation in our Lord Jesus. We are blessed to be able to gather together to look to Him and to hear Him and see Him, to sing His praises, to glorify Him, to stir up a fragrance of God in this place, rising up to heaven. If you disagree that they thought Anna was a kook, feel free. We know how people can be. And if someone is holding up the Lord, the world will try to put them down. So Simeon, an old man, comes in and he tells them who their son is, and he embraces him, and he is now released. I don't know that he was really an old man and wanted to die soon, or I would be very surprised if he were not gray and somewhat having a great deal of mileage. Simeon loved God. Simeon loved the child. Simeon loved Mary and Joseph and the baby. And he loved the children of Israel, and he wanted them to know, because God told him to know, the light of revelation to the Gentiles, the glory of thy people, Israel. Simeon does not sugarcoat it. God does not sugarcoat it to Simeon, and he doesn't change it. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." Because of Simeon's abiding and being with God and seeking to know, why are you keeping me here? Take me to yourself. I love you, Lord. I want to be with you. He loved God, and he testified to that, and he was used by God to announce and to declare and to give signs and wonders about who this child was and what would happen. And he declares that he is a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul. Mary was the mother of a child who would die for his people and her people, Israel, and for all the Gentiles, all who would believe. And God wanted them to know and to see and to hear and to trust that he was with them, and he is going to reveal what is in our hearts and touch us, heal us unto righteousness. Jesus lived a perfect life. He fulfilled all of the law. He fulfilled all the promises that the prophets ever made regarding the Messiah. He was always seeking that God would be high and lifted up, and that he would be seen, and the children of Israel would see him and know that he was the Messiah. We follow throughout the scripture, there are many others. One that I wanted to talk about and I haven't decided not to. is Abraham. And Abraham was certainly central to a lot of what happened in the Old Testament and bringing the children, well, creating the children, becoming the children of Israel, and bringing them forth. He loved God. He walked with God. He walked with God for 1,000 miles to come from Ur of the Chaldees to the Promised Land. And he trusted God to do that, to lead him and to share. He certainly had questions. He had certainly had many things that he would want to know, and he would have asked him. He had a relationship with God, with the Savior, and he wanted to fulfill all that God desired. He wanted his children. He wanted a child. He struggled, and he didn't understand, but he hung on. And he walked, he abided with him, and he stayed with him, and he ignored the temptations of this life. He stood with God, and God stood with him. So, I'm going to stop there. Lord, we do desire to know all that you have for us, all that you want us to know. We want you to share and open our eyes and open our ears that we may know you in all your glory. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to trust you, to believe that you will lead us in the path that we will go. Just as your word tells us, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And in John chapter 14, you have prepared us for your service and your leading and guidance. We thank you, Lord, and praise you and ask you to bless this time. Help us, Lord, to understand what it is you would have us to know, and that we might put our feet on the path of righteousness. In your precious name, Lord, we pray. Amen.